This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. This is the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we want to hear from you. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jags losing today 20-16. Again, it was the typical Jaguars, as you would say. Start out really well, the offense looks good early, and then just disappears for the final half of the game, final couple quarters. I think in the third quarter they only ran 6 or 7 plays total. Marco, what does this offense need to do to stay consistent?
Well, they got to get a new quarterback, got to get some more wideouts.
Quarterback, I don't think, was the issue today, though. I think it was the lack of playmakers.
But still, you got to have a quarterback that can maybe get out and maybe create some more things, maybe with his legs. But like I said, Henny didn't do it, did not. Like I said, I have him as the player of the game offensively. But you need some help. You got to have a running game. The running game was non-existent today. And that's, you figure you got offensive linemen out. Maurice was he wasn't at full strength.
But you did get your wish early. Jump balls to Mercedes Lewis early in the game.
And that's,
you've been saying it for weeks now.
I've been saying it for a couple of years. That is there every game. There's not many people in the league that's going to be able to match up with Mercedes simply because of his pure size.
Or so, Brad Meester either.
We have it.
They need to throw him the ball a little bit more. He looked pretty good. Looked a little agile out there.
Oh, yeah, man. So congratulations to Brad, successful, career. To play 14 years in this league is tough to do, especially in the trenches. And to play right here and be a Jaguar the whole time, that's outstanding.
I'm saying he's the next guy on the wall.
There's got to be. Well, I don't know how long you got to be out. As long as you're retired.
Yeah, I don't think they have any length of time.
Not like the Hall of Fame. You got to be out for 5 years. But
I think he's the next logical candidate to be in there. I mean, no guy's done it better. No guy's done it longer, holding records for games played, games started, consecutive games started. He's the only Jaguar to be here with every single head coach. I mean, yeah. And he's still got some more left in the tank.
Yeah.
Out on his own terms, though, it's something you got to like to do.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You play this game, and it's a very violent game. And to make it through, especially after 14 seasons, to be healthy and be in a position that he's in to be able to say, hey, this is the right time for my family and myself to walk away. It's a true blessing.
And it adds another hole now for the offseason needs of this team, where originally it was just like, all right, let's get a playmaker, let's get some pass rushers, got that quarterback in there. Now you need a center.
Now you need a center.
We were talking about offensive line or some needs on this team for the offseason as well.
I'm interested in seeing if they'll allow Brewster that opportunity. I know he's been coming in playing some guard, he was a center in college, so I'm not sure. I wonder if they'll have him competing.
And center's one of those positions you don't need to get a first or second round guy. You can find guys in the third, fourth round that can start for many a year and play pretty consistently because it's not one of those big positions that people look for early on. You can get some good value that later in the draft.
But it's a very, very vital spot. He's the first guy to touch the ball, and he's really directing all the traffic. The center is pretty important. He may not be the guy that you pick high.
Gets no love,
but he is extremely important.
Can say touches the ball more than anybody else in the entire
that's
game.
That's for sure.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking your calls. Let's start it off with Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
An
emotional day with Brad leaving and a lot of young guys coming in. But I have a question. What do you guys think about the NFL has a 30-second timeout, a 1-minute timeout. You throw the challenge flag, and that's like a 5-minute timeout. And I thought that was a good challenge for letting the defense get a rest. And I'll take your answers off the phone or off the air.
I totally agree with that one because you needed to stop the clock anyway. You could take a timeout there or you could let it run down 30 seconds after the next run. Why not take it there? You see they're moving the ball on your defense. You probably knew you weren't going to win it, but hey, if you're going to take the timeout anyway on a close play, why not throw the challenge flag and see what happens?
You got more time to just come over to the sideline, talk to your folks, and see if you can get something drawn up to get prepared for the next play. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, you've seen – not only the players' maturation during the course of the season, but also the head coach, you know, making some heads-up plays, making heads-up decisions, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what was going through coach's mind after that. Was he calling it because he thought they actually might have been able to get a good look at it and get the play reversed, or if he's just like, you know what, I was taking a timeout anyway, why not just roll the dice and see what happens? You use them or you lose them, and you needed the timeout anyway, and it's like the caller said, longer timeout to begin with.
There you have it.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351, going to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
All good, man.
First off, I hope you guys have a great Christmas. And that was a tough loss today, but I'm glad they saluted Brad the way they did. It's just I hate to see him go out with a loss. I kind of questioned the call with Gus throwing the challenge flag. Although it did stop the clock, you were right with that. But because we didn't have any timeouts at the time, was that right?
No, we had timeouts. You have to have a timeout to use a challenge. I think they only had two, that was their second one they took of the half.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, that was a smart idea. Okay. another thing is going into the off season. I think we need. In the draft, I think we need some more offensive linemen, some wide receivers, and maybe some more guys on defense, and a center, of course.
Naming the whole team as you go down the list there.
Start all over.
Yeah, and maybe a quarterback if he's there.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You need to know for a fact that you're not reaching for a quarterback just because you feel like you need one. I mean, right now, we're looking at the standings that are current in front of the Jags. You got Cleveland, you got Tampa Bay, St. Louis via Washington, and Houston. So you know Houston's probably taking a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Washington, probably, or they're not in there. So St. Louis, maybe. They could go either way. Tampa Bay, they could go either way. They probably will. And Cleveland will probably take one. So you could have three quarterbacks off the board in the first four picks already.
Right.
Would you really want to reach for that fifth good guy? And then you always got to throw in Oakland in the mix, because even though the Jaguars have a better record than they do at the moment, they always got that jump factor. Mm-hmm. Are they figuring the Jags are taking a quarterback, so they're going to look to trade with a St. Louis? Or are they going to look to trade with a Cleveland or Tampa who might not be looking for the quarterback just to jump ahead of the Jaguars?
Yeah, the draft's going to be very interesting as to the decisions that, you know, that Caldwell and those guys make as to what's going to be the most important thing to get with that first round, or even if they trade it. You never know. You know, so it's going to be interesting. You know, they definitely do need a quarterback, I think.
They definitely need a pass rusher.
Another
playmaking wide receiver wouldn't hurt. Mm-hmm. If you got the best wide out on the board,
yeah, when you talk about the first round, yeah. So as far as that first round pick, I think defensive lineman, period. You know, like I said, not necessarily a pass rusher, but along that defensive line. I mean, those guys are okay. You need a dominant guy. There's no one that demands a double team on that defensive line.
You know, we talk about the pass rush all the time, but they gave up 182 yards on the run today.
And then that last
nice
week they gave up another almost 200 yards the week before. So, yeah, you just need a dominant defensive lineman, someone that is dominant enough to where it's not just a blocking scheme where you block him with two guys, but you actually have to account for him almost on every
play.
People
will game plan around him to open up somebody else.
And now that allows guys like Posluszny, Hayes, to get around and make more plays. You know, and Boz makes a lot of tackles, but a lot of times it's after a guy's ran for 7-8 yards.
I'd rather have my lineman making the tackles than
exactly.
The linebackers in secondary making the tackles
exactly.
All day.
So you figure that's I think that's a position also, you know, if you're down that far and you're talking about who you're going to pick, get a real stout defensive lineman.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Jeff on the north side. Jeff, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, appreciate you taking the call. I just wanted to comment, and I'll take your response offline, but everybody's talking so much about wanting to get a quarterback, and, you know, if you look out there, I mean, probably the biggest need they need to look at, and you guys are saying a little bit of it now, is build the offensive line, then put somebody behind there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's not the sexiest pick, and I think that's what a lot of the fans look to. When you hear quarterback, it's obviously a need, another stud wide receiver, because, I mean, look what happens. You got no Justin Blackmon, no Cecil Shorts, and the Jags, again, struggled to score points, so you could use another playmaker on there. Those are the sexy picks. Mm-hmm. But the offensive linemen are the ones that are going to be there for a very long time, like a Luke Jokel. You know, unfortunately, he got hurt this year. But you shouldn't have to worry about that tackle position then for years to come if he plays worthy of the number two pick like everybody thinks he will.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the offensive line. Like you mentioned, Luke Jokel will be back. You got to remember that he's there. You know, at the center position, you got to find somebody to replace him. But then, you know, Rackley, he's hurt. You get him back. And you got to like the way Bradfield and Patsor, they actually played and competing for their position. So I actually think offensive line-wise, it's more about depth as opposed to actually someone coming in and starting except for at that center position.
And continuity. You want to keep the same five guys together for the entire season. When you're shuffling guys in and out because of injuries or whatever, then it looks a lot worse than it really is.
Yeah, because right now you got a lot of guys in. You got Rackley out. You got Jokel out. So, you know, I think that is probably the biggest – key, and you'll get all those guys to start. You just had to have some guys to back up, some really serviceable backups.
And then possibly a running back, too, because Maurice Jones-Drew, free agent. You don't know if he's coming back. Plus, if he does, don't know how much he's got left in the tank. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking more of your calls after this on Jaguars Radio.
Hey, I'm Private First Class Gerard Talbert with the 51st Transportation Company. Task Force Lifeliner. I'm here in Afghanistan. I just want to give a shout out to my mom, dad. I love you guys. Stay safe. Go Jaguars. Still nice. Take it away.
Still nice. Go Jaguars.
Gotta love the troops this time of year, man. I'm giving a shout out to the Jags. Loving it. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the Scoreboard Show. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, and we're taking your calls. Going to Gordon in Julington Creek. Gordon, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Happy holidays, guys.
Same to you.
Man, my comment is I'm just so proud that the Jags are playing hard to the end. I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, and they're playing hard to the end, and I hope they don't lose their coach. But, you know, all week long I've heard about punters being defensive players. Okay? You can't hit the punter. So, hike the punter the ball and let him run for a touchdown, you know? I mean, what's the problem?
Well, if he's running on the ball, he's going to get knocked out.
You're a football player. You can't
hit the punter once the ball's kicked, but if he's got the ball in his hand, you can tackle him as much as you want, whether he's running it or kicking it. If he's still got the ball before it's kicked, you can just destroy the dude.
Well, if you put on a helmet, you're a football player. The problem with this whole league is the defense. They can't play defense no more. I can't touch you. Come on, man. I think a little old school needs to be brought back to the NFL. You know?
Totally agree. Marco, you talk about it all the time. You could have been playing for a good 5-6 more years if the rules were the way they are now when you played.
Especially about practice now. You know, you don't have to pad up too much. You know, it's a requirement to not be in pads after a certain point during the season.
Is it good for the league or is it bad for the league that they're throwing flags on every tough hit? You can't go after the guy's head, so now they're going after knees, and then now guys are getting knee injuries instead.
I mean, you know, everyone that's playing the game that signed up for this deal knew it was – some danger involved physically. You know, I'm all for cleaning up the game and making sure guys don't put themselves in a bad situation, you know, dirty hits. But at the same time, you got to allow people, especially defensive guys, it's that split second that where it's hard to make a decision on, you know, it's a guy's head and body may move in a different way, and now you're in a position where you might have to come off with $25,000.
We've seen it with the Jags this year where there were flags thrown on Jags guys just because they went down low. They were going where the chest was. Just so happened that the receiver's head came down and he hit him in the head, and they'll throw a flag on the Jags, and then sometimes they'll pull him back, but sometimes they won't. It's quick.
Tough.
And somebody said, I don't know if it was Vaselli or who it was, saying that should be a reviewable play.
Yeah, it actually should. I think some of those hits should be, simply because when you have a target and it just takes for a guy just to move very slightly right before you get there. And the next thing you know, it's a penalty. So that's pretty tough. Like I said, playing defense right now is tough. Matter of fact, this year they've given up the most points defense. You know, as a league, more points have been scored, you know, against defenses than ever before in history.
Sure, Peyton Manning has a little bit of something to do with that.
Yeah, and that's a tribute to, you know, the way the defense has it played. He has these big wide receivers out there, and you can't touch him at the 5 yards. I mean, you can't touch, you know, what, Demaryius Thomas is, what, 230 pounds, you know, Calvin Johnson. And you're basically letting these guys just run straight up the field without touching them. You can forget about it. Really?
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going to Ken on the west side. Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I hope y'all are doing great, too. And first thing, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and especially our military folks that protect our country to let us play this great game. I'm very happy with the Jaguars and the job that Gus Bradley is doing. The first eight games, we're 14 points behind in the first half. These last eight or last seven, we're in the game, and we're winning games. You know, Gus has got these guys believing, even though we have a mass unit. The referees, there's nothing you can do about them. I mean, you can call the league. They're not going to change what they're doing. And I think the Jaguars are on the right track. I think Gus Bradley, you know, we got new guys that I can't tell you what the lineup is coming into the week, and probably nobody can. Probably Gus can't, you know, because he don't know. But what the job he is doing is awesome, and I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And hey, let's back up our coach and our team owner, and let's move forward and look forward to next year. And everybody have a happy new year and a Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, yes, sir. Kid.
Thank you. Same to you.
It brings up good points. I mean, all the receivers that played today, none of them had an NFL catch before this year.
Mm-hmm.
No one expected the Jaguars to compete for the playoffs. You know, we weren't unrealistic about what was going on this season. But they doubled their win total from last year. So you can't be nothing but happy for this team that they have four wins. You didn't expect them to have... A lot of people didn't expect them to even get the four
wins.
Still
got one more game.
Yep, and you could still be playing against an indie team that's playing all their backups.
Yeah,
and
what a good opportunity to get another win. And, you know, you have to, again, congratulate the way things have been going for Gus Bradley. Replacing guys. It's been a bit of a tough situation, I guess, for any head coach to have to continuously replace guys, you know, when your headline cats are out, you know, or going out for whatever reason, like with Blackman. So, you know, Gus Bradley has done a good job, and you hear the players when they speak, they sound just like Gus Bradley. He'll speak, and the next thing you know, the conversation.
He's got bought into what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, and that's huge. That's how you win games. As a coach, you have to have the locker room and everyone believe in what you're doing, and right now I think they do.
And it helps to win games. I think how this season came about, I think it actually goes to Gus Bradley's credit in the locker room, because I'm sure during the entire winless streak when they were getting blown out every week, he was sitting there saying every week, like, if we just do the things right, if we keep going where we're going, we're going to win games, we're going to get better, I guarantee it. And then what happens? They come back. Now, whether it's a product of a schedule and they're playing not such good teams towards the end, doesn't matter. They're still winning games, so he can come back and say, look, I told you, as long as we do things this way, we keep getting better each and every week, we're going to start winning games. And they did. And at least now, even the games they're losing, they're still competitive.
Yes, they are.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to David on his way home from the game. David, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It was a good day today. What an awesome, you know, place to be able to play ball and have a good time, and just want a couple of comments. You know, as far as we love coming up here, we're 5-year season ticket holders, and we've been through the, you know, rebuilding this, that, and the other, and you know, we want to see, you know, the teams win, be competitive, but you know, where do we go from here? I mean, why should I renew my season tickets? I mean, we've been through this before. I mean, you know, a guy like Peyton Manning leaves Indianapolis, they're in the, you know, division winners. I mean, why should we keep coming? I mean,
really do? I mean, we just talked about it.
What's the direction of the team? And plus, the ownership is committed to one ball game overseas for the season ticket holders, you know. And, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a downer. We love coming up here. We're committed season ticket holders. But, you know, on the backside of the coin, you know, What's in it for us? I just explained it. You just doubled your
win total from last year. How many teams can say that? I mean, I know you went from 2-4, but you have a brand new head coach. You got your star wide receiver out on suspension. You got your next best wide receiver hurt. You got a running back who's been struggling all year, finally starting to come along. A young guy in Todman who seems to be coming along. I mean, the future is bright. You can get some of these guys back and healthy. Double your win total again next year. That's 8 wins right there.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't ask for much more than to go in a positive to win more games than you did last year, and that's all they've done so far this year is win more games than they did last year.
Yeah, and this is a true legitimate rebuilding situation. Before the past few years, I wouldn't say they were rebuilding; they just fired the coach. It wasn't rebuilding. You still had the same general manager, same group of players. But here, you pretty much look at the roster. Most of the guys that are out there playing right now weren't on the team last season. You got a new general manager. You have
a new
head coach.
The guys weren't on the team 5 weeks ago.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a completely different scenario. It's a legitimate rebuilding situation. You do see that they made strides just here during the course of this season. And if you can get this the next draft, the free agency, that's a lot of reasons to go ahead and get and re-up and be in the stands for next season.
I mean, I get it. I get his point. If the team only had one win so far this year and they were still getting blown out by 14 or so points every game, then I understand it. But, I mean, you have to at least look at the schedule. You go from winning no games, getting blown up by double digits each and every week, to winning three straight games, you know, have a couple losses in there. But even the losses that you had are competitive losses. Mm-hmm. You had leads in those games. You know, they were there right to the very end, and they were exciting at home. Plus, a great ceremony with Brad Meester after the game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you said it, the team, you know, this season, of course, they're not going to playoffs. You don't know if they're going to be well, I would say they can really battle next season with the right pieces put in place during the offseason for this division. You talk about Indianapolis and the way they're playing this year, they're helter-skelter. They won, I think they won the day against Kansas City. But you watch them, they will have those hiccups, and it presents an opportunity for the team. So, they do the
and
right thing.
Some teams just get lucky. I mean, you look at a team like Indy, you go from having Peyton Manning to the year he's gone, you have one or two wins, and you just happen to have a great quarterback that comes out first overall. Same thing might happen to Houston this year. I mean, Houston's going from, you know, winning the division playoff team to they had one of the worst seasons in their history, mm-hmm. get the number one overall pick, and could have another franchise quarterback coming here. Sometimes you just get lucky, too.
Yeah, and it's about the team. You figure Andrew Luck came into a situation where you got some players there. You know, and that's the same. They're similar to with Kansas City. You know,
They had six Pro Bowlers last year.
And that's the same thing with what you had with Indianapolis. You figure you had guys on both sides of the ball that not only are Pro Bowlers but are Super Bowl winners. So now all of a sudden you have a little bit of a culture already developed. Here with the Jaguars, you pretty much scrapped the entire team. You didn't have, you know, guys like Darryl Smith come back. Guys like, you know, Eugene Monroe was playing someplace else. Greg Jones. These players that have been staples and been stable players, they're not even here anymore. You have a legitimate – you're riding – and guys like Cyprian, guys like Ace Sanders, actually Blackman. So, you know, you got these young guys that are actually now look to lead the team and develop a whole new identity for the Jaguars going forward.
And
a new
those
logo.
Those teams, the Kansas Cities and the Indies, they only had one or two holes to fill. This Jaguars team has a ton of holes to fill. I mean, we went over in the beginning of the show talking about linemen on offense and defense, another playmaker, you know, maybe some more help in the secondary, a quarterback. Those are a lot of holes to fill that's not going to happen overnight.
Yep.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to Sean on the north side. Sean, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy holidays, man. How's it going?
Happy holidays.
Hey, y'all hit the nail on the head, man, right before y'all took my call. I was just about to say the same thing. We got too much inexperience on this team, man. We need some veteran players. I think Cecil Shorts is our best receiver with the most experience on the team. And then we got our whole secondary is completely rookies. Like, come on. I really thought in the offseason, I thought they were going in the right direction when they went out and got Marcus Smart. And then I was blown away when they released him. I'm like, come on, what are they doing? It's like, we need some veteran players, man. The draft is good, but all it's going to keep doing is make you say that same thing every year, rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. That's all I had to say about that.
Got a little Forrest Gump action there at the end. That's all I have to say about that. But, you know, it's right. You know, you could use a veteran or two, but you don't rebuild a team and you don't win Super Bowls by bringing in free agents. I mean, we've seen it with the Eagles. We've seen it with a ton of teams over the years that just try to bring in the best stud free agents each and every year, and it just doesn't ever seem to work out. The teams that are good are teams that are constantly building through the draft. I mean, look at, you know, the New Englands, even the Denvers. You know, you bring in maybe one or two guys in a big leadership role, sure, but the majority of their guys, they keep winning every year because they're bringing in new great players from the draft.
Mm-hmm. Which it is, you know, with the guys in the draft, like Cyprian and those young guys, you bring them in, and you, especially with a new coach, you establish the identity, the way things are done. So now when you do bring in those veterans, it's not them coming. You got to have a base, a group of players here that do it the Jaguar way. So if you come from New England, this is not New England. You're not going to do it like Bill Belichick. You're going to do it like Gus Bradley. So you got to have a group of players that have the experience, that have gone through it, and this is all that they know. And that's what you have with the, you know, getting those guys in through the draft. But you do have to have some veterans. I agree with the caller. You do have to have some veterans to teach these guys what it's like to get to the playoffs. Now, Ciprian, I keep saying his name, you know, he's just standing in my head right now. But these young guys, they've experienced how to play 16 games, but they still don't know what it takes to get through, playoffs and to go through that. So you get some guys in here that have experience in that, and that's what they'll bring.
Even a couple backups on a Super Bowl winning team, a couple guys that maybe didn't necessarily play, maybe played it down here or there just for that experience of, hey, here's how you do it. Here's how you get through the rigors of a long, long season. Jags fans, score some great deals today. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Taking more of your calls after this at 355-NFL-1 on the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And it's brought to you by PRI Productions. I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman. We want to hear from you. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going right back to the phones. Junior, all the way up in Buffalo. Junior, how you doing?
Hey, happy holidays, guys. How you doing?
You too,
doing
man.
Well.
Good, good. The second half of the season, what Coach Bradley did and the Jaguars team did, personally for me, they brought back the excitement I haven't felt in the last few years. You know, I got excited to watch football again, and I'm more excited about what's going to happen next year, because I'm happy that Bradley's enthusiasm and what he brought to the team this year and how they finished, because I thought the second half of the season they weren't going to win any games. Back in when we had that bye and you guys were saying, oh, the Jaguars got opportunity to win some games, I'm listening to my computer online listening, it's like, these guys are crazy. The Jaguars are not going to win a game this season. And they shut me up, and they made me want to watch more. And a little jealously that I have today, watching the TV and watching that beautiful 81 degrees down there in Jacksonville. I'm up here in Buffalo freezing in 33 degrees weather and freezing rain.
Yeah, but that's Christmas weather right there. You get the Christmas experience.
And one thing I was thinking, if we get a veteran quarterback, look, I think a guy people are missing, Mark Sanchez, you know, he's not going to come back to the Jets. The Jets are going to go with Geno Smith. Maybe try to get a quarterback like him. Maybe he might have something offered for the Jaguars to bring to being a guy like him as a veteran quarterback. And then we got a veteran quarterback for a little while and just fill up the holes that the Jaguars need on the offensive line and on the defense. I'll just hang up and listen to your spots. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I mean, for me personally, if we're going to go with a guy that's only got a couple years experience, that's not necessarily a proven winner, has his struggles, I'd rather go with the rookie than getting, you know, a guy like a Sanchez or a guy like the infamous Tim Tebow. That's just me personally, but I understand his point because, you know, we talked about it last week, and I could definitely see the Jags, if they are hell-bent on getting a quarterback and all the quarterbacks are gone, making a trade with a Washington that doesn't have a first-round pick, would love to get back in the first round, and trading for a guy like a Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
you know, a young guy who's got some experience in the game. You know, he's done pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kirk is probably the only one I can, you know, come to mind right now as a quarterback out there, young quarterback or even veteran quarterback that would be worth bringing in. Henny right now, if you're talking about a veteran, is fine. It's about as good as it's going to get, because all the good veteran quarterbacks, guess what? They're starting on somebody's team.
What about a guy like a Michael Vick? Because he could be a free agent. He's got, like you talk about, got the escapability, got the legs he can move, he's still a decent passer.
He's a backup for the rest. This is what he's, I mean, he's just too old. I mean, I think at this point, he doesn't fit. I mean, if you're not going to get a rookie, Henny is going to be your guy right now. And Henny has come in, he's embraced everything that, you know, that they're trying to do as an offense. He's a team player. These players are responding to him as a leader. I mean, right now, unless you're going to bring in a young franchise quarterback from college, you just leave Henny in there as a guy.
Last segment, you just sat there and you were telling me about how you need to bring in a veteran, a guy who's made playoff runs,
veteran. I mean, like I said, unless one of these franchise quarterbacks, which I'm sure other teams are not going to let go. There's no other quarterbacks that are available. Not that position. A veteran, yes, some veterans, but not a veteran quarterback that is a journeyman that hasn't, you know, that's been holding a clipboard for all these years.
But he's done the playoff runs. He knows what it takes to win games.
He knows how to sit there and listen and talk, hold the clipboard.
He knows how to escape. He ran. He can run a similar offense.
He knows
how
to cheer for the team.
I'm just throwing it out there, man.
I mean, if he's a perennial backup, no, you don't bring him in here to be the starter. You go ahead and get you a young guy. I'm talking about veterans that have played the game, been starters, and made a significant difference. Now, those quarterbacks.
Like a Marco Coleman.
Exactly.
You bring know? Him back. A guy that knows how to win within the league. And with the new rules, I bet you could still play.
I could probably get you a couple games, I'm sure, with these darn rules. The way I wouldn't have to practice.
Get the mandatory veteran day
off.
Oh,
my goodness. This is cake.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Steve, who's leaving the game. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Hey, that was a great play Meester had starting the game off. We were excited about that.
Yeah, I'd love it. Great tribute to a great Jaguar.
Yeah, congratulations to him for 14 great years. And listen, I was just wondering, I noticed during the last five or six games that I've come and watched that it just doesn't seem like our receivers are getting any space between them and the defensive back to give Henning a chance to pass it. I know Henning's not the greatest quarterback in the world, but there is no space at all for him to even fit the smallest window in there. And the second thing I want to ask is, what do you think the chances of getting – I'm a huge Alabama fan. What do you think the chances of getting somebody like A.J. McCarron?
That's Marco's, man. Don't get Marco started on A.J. McCarron. He loves that guy. He got
That's
a man crush.
I love A.J. McCarron.
He is a winner.
And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, well, with these wide receivers, you know, Mike Brown, 5'10". Kerry Taylor, 6 foot tall. Ace Sanders, 5'7". You figure Cecil Shorts is how tall is Cecil? He's right at about like 5'10". Also, they're just small guys. And all the wide receivers right now are slot guys. If you notice, there hasn't been many deep balls being thrown because these aren't deep ball guys. You know, so the wide receiving core right now is depleted with having Blackman out, and you also had, you know, like I said, also with the injury to Shorts. That's another position that has to be upgraded during the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about height, we can talk about athletic ability, but the realistic part of this whole receiving core is none of the receivers had a catch last year in the NFL. None of these guys were on rosters for very long. They were on practice squad guys, they're guys off the street. You can't necessarily get separation with mediocre receivers. You know what I mean? These guys weren't drafted high. These guys weren't guys that are, you know, veteran guys that were free agents that came in here that there maybe there was an injury or somebody else came and played better. These are unknown guys that the Jaguars, because of injuries, because of suspensions, had to bring them in because there's nobody else out there. That's why they're not getting separation, not because they're 5'10", because they're not good enough.
They're small, man. These little bitty guys, you know, they're just – you got to have some size, at least going deep, and then the speed. They're not – fast guy. They're all slot receivers, short, intermediate route guys. And then depending on what type of routes you run, they're not going to get a lot of separation.
I mean, this would be a really great offense. We were talking about it early on in the year, how good this offense could actually be if you got a guy like Blackman. If he can stay in the game, he's that big face. He's a great receiver. He can be one of the elite receivers in the NFL. You get Cecil Shorts, a speedy guy who does great when he's got somebody opposite him. Not great when he's the sole guy. Then you bring in an Ace Sanders as a fourth guy, the speed guy, and you get one more guy, maybe in the draft, another big wide receiver. This could be a real explosive offense.
Yeah, you got that opportunity. You know, and add the running game. You got it. That would help the running game. Actually, because now you can't leave guys, so many guys in the box all the time.
That's the biggest question mark going into the offseason. Not the wide receivers, not the pass rushers. Who's going to be running the ball next year? Is it going to be Maurice Jones-Drew? Will he be back? And if he's back, does he have enough left in the tank? Is he going to be healthy for a full season? Is it going to be a guy like Todman who had one good game, didn't come play so well today, but none of the running backs played well? And then when you got to play from behind towards the end of the game, of course you're not going to be running the ball. But
we'll see.
What are they going to do? A lot of questions. Going to be a really interesting offseason. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Anthony in Middleburg. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, good. How about yourself, you guys?
Good, man.
Good.
Hey, I just want to talk for a little bit because me and my family, we moved here in June 2000, 2001, and we used to be season ticket holders, you know. And as slowly as, you know, Burnell left and Taylor and Smith and Big John Henderson and Paul Spicer, you know, it was sad to see how the establishment went down. And in doing so, you know, we brought in Gus Bradley. We got all these young guys. And it's not that we don't have a good quarterback. We have good quarterbacks, but we have a young team. We have a young line. As well, we got, you know, a new GM, but Gus Bradley is this X factor. He brings in so much enthusiasm. He'll get in the player's face, even though they're doing something bad, but he'll get in their face as well when he knows they're doing something good, and he'll bring excitement. Even with all the injuries, he's saying, you know what, we've got to keep moving forward. This will work. You got to stick to the process. You got to believe in the process. And, you know, with the last couple of games, you know, it's not blowouts anymore. It's close losses or close wins. And, you know, I'm seriously considering getting my season tickets back just because I like the way it's going. I mean, Chad Henne's finally getting protection that he needs. You know, the offensive line standing their ground and not giving anything. The defense, we have a great defense. and they're doing everything that they can. They're finally getting less time on the field, so they have more time to recover and get back out there with 100% of energy.
Yeah, great call, Anthony. And Anthony's the kind of fans we need, because there's a lot of fans out there, and rightfully so. We're dealing with the sins of the past. Bad draft picks, bad free agents, bad coaches, all these things come into play. And you hear it in the callers. You hear callers call in all the time, say, how long are we going to be rebuilding? It seems like we're rebuilding every year. I think finally we have a good system in place between coach, GM, and owner that knows what they're doing and will actually pick good draft picks, actually pick good free agents, guys that fit the system, not just necessarily names or reaching for quarterbacks, but guys that fit their system and what they should do. And you see it. You see it with guys like Cyprian. You can see it with Ace Sanders, who's been kind of forced into a role that's really not his role. He's not a number one, number two receiver. He's a more of a specialty guy. But you can see that they're moving in the right direction just with the draft picks in one single draft.
Yeah, it's you can tell that the team – right now is definitely the arrow is pointing up, and it's just a matter of how, you know, when you talk about the draft picks, it's still 50-50. You're fortunate in the guys you pick, Cyprian, that those guys come out and they've been able to perform well. But next year's draft, you still really don't know. You hope you pick the right guys. But a couple of veterans in that in the free agency, which it's been mentioned that, you know, by Caldwell, that he's going to do a little bit more in the free agency. And I think that's going to be significant in having a team catapult them from being having these four wins and next year possibly being that 8-8, you know, 7-9, you know,
until the very end.
And
meaningful
with that,
games in December, that's exactly all you can really ask for.
And depending upon which games that it is that you win, you're competing now possibly for the division. I really don't think after this season, watching without having a, you know, the wide receiver in Indianapolis, that
Reggie got, Wayne.
Reggie Wayne getting injured, that Indianapolis, they're a little vulnerable. You know, they've been very inconsistent without him in the lineup. So that shows that there's some opportunity here within this division for the Jaguars next year if they can make that jump.
Visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, to get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the Ultimate Jags Game Day Experience. This is the Scoreboard Show. We're taking more of your calls after the break at 355-NFL1, 355-6351 here on Jaguars Radio.
Hey Jacksonville, I'm Captain Renee Charity Cassidy, United States Air Force deployed and graduate class of 04 Paxson High School. Mom, Dad, I'm sorry I can't be there with you for the holidays, but I know our Jacksonville family will take care of you. Mom, no tears, I'll be home soon. We can go wedding dress hunting. And Dad, I'm sorry, I can't get you that 76 Mustang you want. Jaguars, I've been with you since 95, and Jacksonville, please keep my family safe. Go Jags!
You're listening to the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Getting some more love from the troops overseas. Gotta love it this time of year. We're taking your calls, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Eddie in Orange Park. Eddie, how you doing?
Hey, fellas.
What's happening?
I got a question for the 1990 national champ dude there, Marco.
Go Jackets!
Yeah, buddy, I'm a noble, but I know you got your national championship.
Yeah, yeah.
In.
It looks
Here's
like you guys got a good chance to get one this week, this year.
That's right. That's right. We sure do. We're coming against Auburn. I have a question. It was like 5 minutes ago. I was at the game today. It was a good game, and it was 4th and 1. I think we're 25 or 20 yard line of Tennessee, and he had the option of putting Scobie out there to kick a field goal to get us within a point. When the play was developing or the situation, what was your take on it? Would you have gone for it? I mean, I wasn't upset that he went for it because we had Maurice back there. But would you have kicked the field goal? Because when we got the ball back later in the game, all we would have needed was a field goal. But then Henny had to take us down and score a touchdown, and you just don't have the confidence in Henny doing something like that. So what would you have done?
Well, I think they were pretty – the position on the field was – pretty decent. You know, you figure if you can go ahead and get the score, you're 4-10. Why not? I mean, this is not a situation where the win or the loss of this game was going to determine whether you can go to the playoffs. I think the aggressiveness that Bradley showed was, you know, it was warranted considering the situation with the team right now. Now, if you say, okay, this is a game that the team has to get in order to win a division, yeah, you're going to play a little bit more conservative and do the things necessary so you don't – but in this situation, why not? Yeah. I have absolutely no quarrels with anything that was done today, those fourth downs that they went for, and that was for both teams. I mean, they both took chances that I'm sure normally they wouldn't have taken if the teams were – if their records were reversed where they were 10-4 and, you know, an 11-4 coming, 11-3 coming in. So it's a little different.
Exactly. Hindsight's always 20-20, but you see this constantly throughout the NFL. When the team's basically out of the playoffs, all they have to play for is wins and, you know, basically ego and moving forward for the next time. You see it all the time. You see teams that could tie it up with an extra point. They decide to go for two in the fourth quarter just because they want to win. I think we saw it last week with Washington. They didn't end up getting it. But, you know, it's like one of those things where you just go for it because – you know, why not? What do you have to lose?
Yeah,
why not
get
your team fired up? Get them excited. Get the fan base fired up and excited because, in all honesty, if they would have gotten it, came down, scored the touchdown, we would be cheering. Now, it didn't work, so now everybody's going to be second-guessing it. But, you know, at the same point, would you really want to see the Jags go in there and win and be like, oh, they kicked a field goal, then they got the ball back, and then they kicked another field goal? You know, you'd rather be like, let's go for the score. Let's go for the win. Let's put some points on the board on a team that struggles to score touchdowns, especially, you know, later on in the ballgame.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Haven't talked about any of the injuries yet today, and this injury report is brought to you by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Really, too, yeah, Dwayne Gratz, he's got the ankle that he's been dealing with all year, and Ace Sanders, he had the finger, but he did come back into the game, so it looks like Ace will be fine. With Gratz, with one game left to go, now I know it's a double-edged sword here because he's been dealing with this ankle all year. Do you sit him out that last game and say, you know what, just get healthy, we want you ready for the whole off-season program, or do you say, you know what, you need experience, as much game experience, because you're going to be our starter for years to come, and put him in next week?
I think if he's healthy enough to play, as a rookie, you go ahead and get him on out there. He's got a lot of time.
What do you mean by healthy enough? Because he could be at 70% and probably give it a go, but do you want him out there at 70%?
For him, the experience, another game, you know, going against, you know, going down and playing. He hasn't played in Indianapolis in that dome yet, you know. So that's now, true. As a you know, as a rookie, having an experience, one time to go down there to hear these fans, to see what it's
and
like.
Another chance to go up against an elite receiver in Reggie Wayne.
You figure next season they may be going back to Indianapolis, and now it's something on the line. So now the atmosphere is not something that he's unfamiliar with. So if he's healthy enough to play, and that means, you know, whether 70%, 80%, whatever the case may be, he doesn't require any surgery, just rest. Go ahead and play. That's part of the game. I mean, I you know, just like Brad Meester, I played for 14 seasons, and at this point of the year, you know, he's got an ankle. I bet there's pretty much, you can go down a list of every guy on the team, everybody's got something that's bothering them and ailing them that they're just trying to fight through.
Plus, when you're younger, don't you heal up a little bit faster? Yeah. See, when those nagging issues, when you get into that 13th, 14th season, and even like a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, the hamstring, you know, he's a little bit older in his career. He might need just a little bit extra days here. He probably won't practice again all this week, and he'll probably end up playing, and the hamstring will still be an issue next week. But it did seem to bother him a little bit. Didn't have a great day today. I mean, he ran pretty well, but you could tell there was probably still a couple lingering injuries there.
Yeah, they did a good job stopping that run. But, yeah, I'd say let Gratz play or have him out there. He can rest all week long. I think just the experience of playing in Indianapolis will bode well for next season for him.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to John in Middleburg. John, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good.
Hey, I appreciate you guys speaking with me. Hey, touching on the injuries, you know, when a team has that many injuries, it's very difficult to put wins together, especially with a young team. I understand that. So, you know, and I understand your point. I really think that, you know, we have a chance of making a really good team. But I just wanted to pose a question to you. If we were going to take a draft pick today, who will we take and who's going to be the best fit for our team to make this happen?
That's such a tough question to ask because it depends on a lot of things, and we kind of brought them up. Who's still available? If we had our pick of anybody we could have, if we had the number one overall pick today, yeah, I'd say go with a guy like a Teddy Bridgewater, hands down. But if you've got...
Really?
Yeah. Ew. I mean, he's the number one quarterback. Every draft board has him at
hype,
number one.
They don't know what the hell they're thinking about.
So,
don't know what
so you're
about.
Smarter than every analyst out there. That their only job is to sit there and rate.
I am. To hell with them. They don't know what they're talking about.
That's who. Then who would you take besides AJ McCarron?
Connie, the defensive lineman from Missouri.
Clowney?
No, not Clowney. The defensive lineman from Missouri. Early, I think that's his name. I like him over. I think he's the type of player. He's big, strong, and make a big difference on the defensive line. Because the way that Henny's playing. Considering the draft position that the Jaguars are in right now, more than likely those quarterbacks, Bridgewater, and those guys are going to be gone. I mean, go ahead and get a guy like that that'll now can upgrade that defensive line, because that defensive line definitely needs work. I mean, realistically, the first part of the season, they played against the elite football teams. That really was the gauge to see how far this team is away. And that front seven was horrendous.
And it's hard to pick when you're a new coach, new team, all young guys, and you're going up against the elites. You know you're not going to compete. Now, maybe it would be a different story if they played them now when these guys got a little bit more experience. I'm not saying they'd win, but it might be a little closer than, you know, 20, 30-point loss.
Yeah, and I, you know, back to your point, I don't think Bridgewater is the best quarterback, to be honest with you. I still think A.J. McCarron is the best college quarterback coming out in the draft this year.
As long as they don't draft Johnny Manziel, I'm happy.
I'm with that, too.
He's the next Tim Tebow. Sorry to say it. He's too short. He doesn't make plays with his arm. He just runs around.
I just want the guy that's got the rings. That's Mr. McCarron.
Taking more of your calls after this here on the Scoreboard Show.
Hi, this is First Class Mike Oakley from Jay Bear, Alaska. Wishing everybody in Jacksonville, Florida, a Merry Christmas and go Jaguars.
Buehr Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Buehr Switch Watches are available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford's Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. This is the Scoreboard Show. Love hearing from the troops, giving shout-outs to the Jags. And I got to bust on Marco just a little bit more. Who's your guy?
I've gone through three mock drafts from reputable sites
in the break. I didn't see your guy picked in the first round yet.
So who were the guys that in these mock drafts? What's the supporting information? I mean, who are they? Who are these guys?
Guys?
Did any of them play 14 years in the NFL? That's what I want to know.
Were you ever a scout?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can consider myself a scout. I sat in a locker room with a lot of guys and talked about how bad and how good another guy is.
I wouldn't brag about sitting around in a locker room with a bunch of guys all the time. Hey, man, I'm just saying.
But yeah, look here, man. We had a close one. But
is there any proof of that?
Look, you know, I played long enough and saw a lot of guys come in this league, and I think I have a pretty good job of recognizing players that come. Matter of fact, I said Russell Wilson was going to be a star. I'm telling you, I know, I see these hidden gems.
We need to pull tape on that.
I'm telling you, this is watching him play against.
Who's your hidden gem of this year's draft besides Early?
I'm telling you, Early is that guy, man. And I like the guy Ford, the defensive lineman for Auburn. He's another one that's going to be a good player. These guys are really good defensive linemen that have moves, the energy level, they're strong. Clowney, I watch him play, man. He's good, but I think these guys are going to be just as good. If not better.
I'm marking it down right now.
Early and Ford.
So next year, we're going to see where they're drafted.
We're going to see where they're drafted.
This time next year, we're going to see how they played their rookie season, if they played or if they got drafted.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, man. Believe me. I mean, they're going to be a steal. Whoever gets them, they don't draft them in the first round, you know, they're going to be steals. Believe me.
Next week. Let's look on the next week. We got one game left. We'll be talking all about the draft, I think, next show after the game. Do you think Indy plays their starters?
Probably about a quarter and a half, maybe even a full half. I, those guys are still, especially like Luck, they're a little young. So I think you still have them out there play a little bit. Probably not the whole game.
I haven't looked. I know they've already wrapped up the division. I don't know if they can improve on their playoff standings at all.
I don't think so.
The other big issue is, when we're talking about the draft, if you're a Jaguars fan, do you want to see them win this game, be their fourth win in the division against the division winner? Let's say they do play their backup. You're playing against their backups. Do you want them to win as a fan, or do you want them to lose to get the better draft pick?
Me? Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Since you're scouting. Scout for me.
You
got
to
right
go
now.
For the win, man. You never play this game to lose. You know, what's going to take place in the draft?
I go for the loss.
I'm telling you, man, through experience, you don't know what you're going to get. They were very fortunate that the majority of the players that they drafted were good football players. We just had this conversation with Joe talking about Shaq Harris and the players that he brought in. He had just as many good players as he did bad players, and that's going to be the draft. I mean, you give these guys enough drafts, it's going to be some busts. It's going to be some garbage because you don't know what you're getting in rookie players, how they will adapt to this level of play. Physically, they may be able to run good, be strong, and all those type of things, but it's more than just playing on the field. How do they handle the off the field type of things? Like with Blackman, outstanding football player, but his career is in jeopardy right now. How is he going to respond? Some players can, some can't. So you have to, you just don't know with this draft.
There are eight teams right now between 5 wins and 3 wins. So next week is going to determine a lot, depending on whether you pick in the top three or even if you could be in the late top 10.
Culture of winning. You know, if you go out intention, you know, trying to just say that we, you know, we just want to go get a draft pick. What is that saying to your players? You know, I mean, it's about
winning.
I'm
not saying for the players. I know the players are going to go out and win. That's obvious. The players aren't going to go in there and say, let's lose for the draft pick. But as a fan, as a true fan, isn't it better for your team to lose and get a better draft pick? As a true fan. I'm not talking about early in the year. I'm talking about last game. You got nothing on the line. You could draft either number two, or you could go all the way and back to number nine.
As a fan, and I am a fan of the Jaguars, and I want to see them win. I think you want to win. You want to see your team walk off the field with their head held high. They beat a playoff team. Because right now, the Jaguars have not beat a team that's going to the playoffs.
You played. Is it as big if you play a team and beat them when all their scrubs are in? It's like a preseason game.
Hey, man, you want to win the game. We beat. They don't say who was in the game. They say you beat the Indianapolis Colts, and they went to the playoffs.
And I guarantee there's going to be a lot of people that look in the paper and say, wow, they beat Indy. They must be really good.
The only team that the
Jaguars or not.
All the teams the Jaguars have beaten have been teams with losing records. It says something to go ahead and go into Indianapolis and get the win. A team that's got, you know what, they got 10 wins?
Just win, baby.
Yeah, and they have, you know, it's not, you may be missing Andrew Luck maybe out of the game. That's about it. It's not going to be a lot of scrubs.
I think Reggie Wayne probably wouldn't play.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that many scrubs in the game. I mean, believe me, it's going to still be a battle for the Jaguars. And, you know, they have backups. Who's the backup quarterback for? I think he's actually decent.
Idea.
It's who's the backup quarterback for Indianapolis?
I have no idea. I'm trying to look for it right now. But
come on, Joe Folk. I can't believe Joe doesn't know.
Let's look. It takes a minute. Computers run a little slow. Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck. Exactly.
He's got some experience.
There you go. This is not going to be a cakewalk. They're going to bring in somebody that can legitimately come in there and play the there's your veteran quarterback with experience, clipboard holder.
You say you don't want Matt Hasselbeck coming here either.
Not at all.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I say go for the loss.
Oh,
as a
man.
True fan, as a diehard fan, what's in the best interest of the team is to lose that last game.
So you're talking about being going from having the fifth pick to the fourth pick? Really?
No, but you could go from the ninth pick to the second pick, depending on how the things go.
I'm telling you, within that top 10 players in the top 10, it's not going to be a significant difference as to what you're going to be picking.
Where was Blaine Gabbert drafted?
He was in the top 10.
Yeah, he wasn't number one or two. He was number 10.
But we can go down the line. There's been a whole lot of number one. There's been a lot of number one busts.
There have been.
There's been a lot of them.
Said, we're not picking number one. We're at least picking number two.
It doesn't. My whole thing, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to rest on the potential of a rookie, whether he's the first pick or the last pick of the draft.
Hold on. You just sat here and told me about not drafting, not getting veterans, not building team with veterans you want to build through the draft, and now you're not going to put things on the draft?
I didn't say that. I said you bring in some veterans and not trust what you're going to get. He needs to get some young guys in here. But I said you got to do some stuff in that free agency.
I see why you're a judge, because you talk out of both sides of your mouth.
Nah, man. I'm telling you, you just don't know what the rookies. You just don't know what you're getting. You don't know.
Marco, make sure you have a good Christmas.
You
tell the
too,
family
man.
I said the same. We got one more scoreboard
show next week. And get
rid of the
mock drafts, man. That's why they call them mocks, because there's some chumps. They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They're guys that have nothing to do but just do
they
mock drafts.
And every mock draft is wrong every year.
Listen to Judge Marco Coleman. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back again next week here on Jaguars Radio.